Sunny Bonani. That's your first Zulu word for the day. Sunny Bonani. That means hello. So Sunny Bonani. Now you can say you know the word in Zulu. I've been learning a few of them. And the other word I want to say to you is Siyabonga. Siyabonga, Siyabonga, Siyabonga. That means thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Siyabonga. I am so thankful for each of you for how you have given to my support in going to South Africa. I want to tell you what my team leader said. She said, you have raised the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time in the history of this mission. That is amazing. And that was because of you guys and your giving. So Siyabonga, Siyabonga. Siyabonga. Thank you. I am going to South Africa. We'll be in three towns. I hope that you were able to pick up this packet. If not, you can get it at the end, or they're just at the back. This is my itinerary. You can follow me along. I get on the airplane Friday, with two bags, just under 50 pounds, one full of materials for South Africa and one full of my stuff, and a backpack, and a wheelchair transport that will be wheeling me through the airport, because it's a very long walk over, especially in Dubai, and 20 other people, and you'll see them in the bulletin. In fact, you might just want to cut this out and put it on your fridge, or put it in your Bible so you can pray for this team of people. These team have become my family this last few weeks and months as we've been planning and preparing and praying together. We're a bunch of white people going to South Africa to meet some wonderful, dark brothers and sisters that know the faith and working really hard. And we are partnering with our black South African churches over there to minister and bring the gospel to so many more. And that's what I love about this mission called Reach for Life, is because we are partnering with the people there. And we're not just doing something for 2 weeks, but what we are doing will be done throughout the rest of the year. So I'm going three places, Johannesburg, Harrismith, and Durban. Johannesburg and Durban are both very large cities. Primarily, about 80% are black, the rest percent are white. There is heavy racism still, and not surprisingly, because apartheid just ended in 1998. So the blacks and the whites keep themselves very separate. South Africa is called the rape capital of the world. It's heavy in ancestor worship. So the poverty rate for black South Africans is very, very high. But they spend the majority of the money that they have on two things. Not all of them, but a very large percentage of them. They spend it on alcohol, and they spend it on graves. So they take money, and instead of feeding their children, will spend it on alcohol and these elaborate grave sites. So they will live in hardly a shack that can stand up, and yet the grave for grandma, grandpa, great-grandpa is this elaborate thing, because they believe that their ancestors talk directly to God. And if they please their ancestors, the ancestors will be up there going, hey, God, give my grandkid a little money, or give my grandson a little something, or bless him and keep him from getting HIV. So that's what the culture is like there. They do speak English, although primarily it's Zulu or a combination of Zulu and English. The very cool thing is that the Department of Education in South Africa came to us and said, come to our public schools. We need you in our public schools. We get to present the gospel in the public schools over there. Can you believe that? I was shocked when I saw hundreds of kids jumping up and down singing, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah, in a public school. That was amazing. So in the mornings, we will spend our time in the public schools. We will be singing with them. We will be doing Bible skits with them. We will be making what's called the wordless color, what do you call that necklace? It's a necklace that explains the gospel through colors. Okay, so kind of like the wordless book, if you're familiar with the wordless book way back in the day. So the black bead is for sin. We all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the red bead is for the blood of Jesus Christ who paid the penalty for our sin. And then the white bead is for his forgiveness of our sin. You get the picture. Green is for growing in Christ. Yellow is for heaven. So we make these beads telling the gospel message with the kids, and there's a cross that hangs on the bead too. So we'll be doing that with them and presenting the gospel in a very, very clear way. We'll be doing a lot of skits also explaining the gospel and having fun. We're going to be doing a lot of games with the kids. One of the guys on our team, that is his sole job, is get the kids out there and get them playing games and having fun. And a lot of the games even tell the gospel as you're playing the game. So it's very evangelistic. In the afternoon, we will be doing a lot of peer educator training. What that means is that the Bible that we use is called Reach for Life. It's an NIRV version. It's a New International Reader's version. That means it's very simple English. The NIRV Bible has been done in, that has 60 lessons in it that take the kids throughout a year. So they go through the New Testament in an entire year. My job has been to write Bible curriculum, 60 lessons, to go through the entire year. That's a lot of writing. It's a lot of curriculum. And it will be used every day, 365 days throughout the year. So I will be leaving September 17th. The stuff I leave will be used the next day, the next day, the next day, and the next day. Will be copied over and over and over again to literally hundreds of children across South Africa. That is amazing to me. That is an incredible, incredible, I don't even have words to tell you what that means. So the people that teach the material that I will be writing and have been writing are called peer educators. They're between the ages of 16, about 30 years old. They take the lessons and they meet with the kids every day at school, either at lunchtime or after school, and they take the kids through this daily club. It's like a kids club. So we will do peer educator training in the afternoon. And then we will do men's and women's groups in the later afternoons and then going to churches. I want to tell you, as you look through this schedule, it's very detailed. We get up at, sometimes we're out the door at 5:30 in the morning. That will kill me. But it'll happen. Get up at 5:30, start the day, get home about 8 o'clock at night or back to our camp. The first week, we will be staying in a Baptist camp there. I have a roommate who is a black South African woman who works part-time with the organization, and I am so looking forward to getting to know her because she has a powerful story, and because I will be speaking to the peer educator women, she will help me to communicate in that culture. So I'll be learning a lot from her about how to communicate to the women in South Africa. I will also be speaking to a lot of women's groups. And I have written three things now. Curriculum, I still have many lessons to go, but curriculum. The second is a peer educator manual that has lessons. And so when the peer educators come through, they will hear different lessons at different stations. Kind of like when you go to a conference and you go to your first, you know, your first exhibit of the morning or your first conference meeting, and then you go to the next one, then you go to the next one. That's how it works. And so I've written the majority of these 10 stations, not all of them, but a lot of these 10 stations that the peer educators will go through. So, for example, I wrote on women's sexual health and safety because it is the rape capital of the world. The peer educators there Some of them, there was one woman that was raped last week. So I'm going to be speaking to very broken women, women that will be working with other broken women, women that will be working with very hurting and abused children. So I've been writing things on how to recognize the signs of abuse in a child, how to report, and what the South Africa culture, what that looks like, how to understand that rape is evil, and it's a crime, and there's no excuse for it, no matter how much the person who did it may be respected in the community. And what I'm hearing is that the majority of time that a child is abused, and the levels are very, very high, is by a family member. And that family member is typically the father or the stepfather who is, in that culture, highly respected. And so excuses are made for his behavior, like he drank too much, or it's not a big deal, or whatever it is. So there's a lot of the writing that I've been doing is about first explaining that there is no excuse. There is no respect for such a person. And healing is there. And then I've written things about how Jesus was abused too and suffered horribly on the cross. And he knows what we feel and what we've gone through. And he is there for us. So there's a lot of hard things I've been writing on. So the peer educator manual, the other thing I've been writing about is domestic violence. That's very, very high. It's very common for a man, a husband, to beat his wife. It is a new concept for them to hear that it's not okay to beat your wife. So I've also written stuff for the men that the men will teach on how you behave as a man of God and what the Bible says about being a man of God. The third thing I've been writing is a book for the women there and for the women in the churches. And it's just a women's manual, what a woman of God looks like, sexual health and safety, how to prepare a safety plan if you need to leave your home. All of these very detailed things. But basically all of that and upholding all of that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if you don't know Jesus, you don't have hope. And in all of this messy stuff I've just told you about, it's easy to see no hope. But there is hope. And I desperately want to bring to the children and the men and women in South Africa the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's been really hard to write these things. I've spent hours on the phone with our liaison in South Africa. Her name is Tandy. She's a very courageous, brave woman. And I'll write stuff and I'll send it over there and she'll call me and she'll say, "Rebecca, you need to be more firm. You're being too nice. You need to say it as it is. This is evil." And I'm like, "Well, don't we want to be nice? You say what needs to be said." So I'll rewrite it and send it again, and she'll go, "That's great, Rebecca. Now do it again." So I look forward to meeting her. She's been a big encouragement to me. As you look in this on this schedule, we'll be visiting on day one a drug rehab center. We'll also be going to an orphanage. Two of them, at least, while I will be there, will be at two orphanages. I have had to write things on so many things. My head sometimes feels like it's going to explode. HIV training, drug abuse training, teen pregnancy, why virginity testing is not okay. Just things that mind boggle me. But I'm excited. And I'm scared. And so I've never gone out of the country. gone to Mexico on a cruise. That was fun. I went to Canada. That was okay. I've never been out of the country. When I was a teenager at Multnomah, I felt like God was calling me to the mission field. And I tried really hard to get into Nicaragua that year that the Sandinistas and all that stuff happened. I tried really hard, and it didn't happen. The doors kept closing until the door opened, and God was very clearly saying, you need to work with kids. And I got my first job in college at a church working with kids, and I've been working with kids ever since. This trip is my entire life story. If you know my life story, you know the struggles I've had with some of the issues I've been telling you about. See, the black South African women don't think it happens here. They don't think it happens to white American women. So my job is to go over there and say, this happened to me. And I don't want to do that. It will be sharing very vulnerable, personal stories of evil and harm. Several times a day for 17 days. And then sharing about a Jesus that walks beside me and with me. Comforts me and brings me joy and healing and hope and a future. So please pray that I can speak and be vulnerable without making it about me, but making it about us. We are all in this together, and we all need Jesus. Help me to be bold. Pray for me to be bold. Pray that people are saved. Men and women and children are brought to Jesus. There'll be a lot of pastors there. There'll be a lot of pastoral training. So pray for me as I share every day. You can follow along this schedule. You'll see times that you see like the drug rehab center, I'll be sharing some of my story. When you see a PE, that doesn't mean PE. It means peer educator training. I'll be sharing my stories. When you see on the schedules community man and women groups, I'll be sharing my stories. When you see churches, I'll be sharing my stories. There's a lot. There's a lot. There's some fun. I'll be going on a game farm safari. I'll get to see the elephants and the zebras and the giraffes. And I will visit the home of Nelson Mandela and an apartheid museum. I am thankful. Never, ever in a million years thought I'd ever be doing anything like this. This comes as a complete shock to me. And let me tell you, I would have never been able to take an entire family and four kids over to Japan way back when and pack for 5 years. I can't get myself ready for next Friday. I am having emotional breakdowns like you would not believe. Okay? Every night, in the middle of the night, I wake up about 1 o'clock going, dear God in heaven, I am so anxious. What if I forget something? Do they have, I don't know, shampoo? Stupid stuff. They have shampoo. Okay, that's dumb. But just, yeah, I don't know why I'm worried. Why am I worried? I have no idea. Maybe it's a spiritual attack. Should just pray for my anxiety level because it is shooting through the roof. And then there's that plane ride that's 14 hours there. Then we stop in Dubai, fortunately, spend the night in Dubai and have a tour of the city. That'll be good. But on the way back, it's 22 hours. The longest plane ride I've been on is 6. I don't do well in confined places, and I will need prayer. So I fly out on Friday. Y'all could please pray from Friday to Saturday, that whole flight period. I pray that I'll be understood in a different culture. Pray for salvations and pray for protection. We feel very safe where we're going. We do have some security. To a squatter camp that has no electricity, no running water. We'll be doing home visits there. A lot of very traditional things in those homes going on. A lot of cutting rituals, a lot of different things I've never seen. Poverty like I've never seen. I don't know how I will be when I see that, but I know I will be wrecked. And what strikes me is that I should be, because it wrecks the heart of God. So if it wrecks the heart of God, it should wreck me. And within my power, if I can do something, he says, go. So I'm going to do something, a lot of somethings. And I'm very, very thankful. I want to take just a minute and see if you have any questions for me. Because I know I've given you just a whole ton of information and it may not all make sense. So is there any questions that you have? That's a great question. How did I decide to go? Where did the call come from to go, and why did I say yes? So back in April, I had been doing some contract work for a church. A pastor called, and he said, will you write some children's curriculum for us? We need it in 2 weeks. And it was 20 lessons, and he's an old boss, so he I wouldn't have said yes to anybody but him. But I said, okay, well, we'll see what quality it is, but I'll give it to you. He's out in Annapolis, Michigan, out in Annapolis. And so I did the curriculum. I sent it out there, and it was a large project for a very large church, and I happened to post on Facebook during that process, please pray for me. I'm writing this difficult curriculum tailored to this church based on this pastor's sermon series. Appreciate prayer. Well, an old friend of mine who's very rarely on Facebook, she's not a Facebook person, is the director for this mission, Reach for Life. And she called me and she said, I see you're writing curriculum. We need somebody to write curriculum for us. Will you come over to my house and let me tell you about our mission? So I said, okay. So I went over to her house and she showed me their mission trips and what they'd been doing in South Africa and told me about the curriculum they needed writing. And at first, I was just going to stay here curriculum to them and they could go do with what they want in South Africa. And she said, Becky, you really need to see the culture that you're writing to in order to be able to write effectively and have it be relevant in the culture. So I said, well, I'm not going to South Africa. She said, well, I really think you should go to South Africa. And I said, well, she says, and no pressure, but if we get you like to say yes now, we can get a good plane ticket. So I said, well, give me a week and I'll pray about it. Give me or two, pray about it. And she is emailing me every day, the price on the ticket is blah, 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 blah. I'm like, I need a little more time. The price on the ticket is blah, blah, blah. So I went and talked to everybody I know, and everybody said, you need to go to South Africa to write this curriculum. Because what impressed me was it's getting into the public schools. And if you can get to the children, you can change a culture. You can change a culture if you can change and get to the hearts of the children. And so I said, okay, and promptly burst into tears as she bought the ticket online. And then, interesting thing, I'd never planned on writing any of this other stuff. But Lorna, who's the leader of this, she was an old Sunday school teacher of mine. I was a children's director. She was a Sunday school teacher in my department. And she knew me in that relationship, but she did not know my stories. So as I have learned about the culture and what we needed to do over there, I said, I might be able to talk about that. And she said, what do you mean? So I told her my stories, and she went, you have got to come to South Africa now. Every single thing. I mean, just like, even, I was married before, and my ex-husband is HIV positive. So after our divorce, I had to get tested for HIV. Well, they don't think that happens here, right? So over there, I can tell them, I got tested. It's okay. You need to get tested. I did it. You can do it. And then I took my ex-husband to his doctor's appointments, and he's alive 22, 24 years later because he takes his medicine every day. You can take your medicine every day because it's a stigma over there. So there's all these little personal stories that I have in my life that I can weave into, it's okay to do that testing. It's okay to take your medicine every day. This is a good thing. So things like that. So that's how that. And at the time when I was writing the curriculum for Pastor Ed, I was talking to my mom and my friends. I said, you know, I wonder what will come from this. I just think the Lord's going to do something from this curriculum for this church. Something's going to come from this, and whatever it is, I need to do it. This was what came from it. And so then I had to say yes, because it was the only thing that came from it. Nothing else. No other churches called me for anything. I was thinking, oh, maybe another church will call me. I'll write some more curriculum, make money doing this, that, whatever. No, this is what happened. So that's how that happened. Yes. That's, yeah, thank you. That's what I've been told. I won't come back the same. And that scares me. But there's a song, it's called something about surrender. And this whole thing has been about surrender for me. Surrendering what I want to do where I think is safe to get on a plane and go 17,000 miles across the world. And be with kids in a child-led household. I don't have a parent. As old as sibling raising them. I can't. I know it will be changed. And I know I will be going back. I will be working with this organization throughout the year, writing for them, doing curriculum, writing for their manuals that will be used in the churches over there in the community centers. And I'm, unless God says no, and unless something weird happens, I think I'll probably be going back. Anything else? But if you could just have the picture of the Bible and pray, follow along each day. You'll see what I'm doing and where I am, and pray, and I would say forever, Siyubonga, 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 Siyubonga. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You gave your heart, you gave your money, you gave a lot of it. Siyubonga. You've given your prayers. See you, Bonka. Yes.
How long is this first session? Are you working 3 months or how long?
No, this is 17 days.
17 days,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.